You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
One of those scriptures, because notice that Paul again says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you know, we don't even want to slip on that. This is not something that is given that will work for some people, but it will not work or benefit other people. Notice that Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, and is in Christ the right way, then certain things are going to happen in your life. It is a guarantee. You will not miss these things happening for you or to you because you are in Christ. And I don't know about you, because I am in Christ, I know these things have happened, and I know they are continuing to happen. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am in Christ. Oh, and I should be getting more amen, a little bit more claps, because I'm looking around, and many of you, you know about yourself that you are in Christ. Are you perfect? Are you perfect? Will you ever be perfect? No. Is your pastor perfect? Will I ever be perfect? But yet I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Before Paul could really deal with these Corinthians, who, if you study the book of Corinthians, and you especially look at the first book of Corinthians and the second book of Corinthians, then you know after Paul had established this church, that this church would encounter many problems. One of the biggest problems that the churches of Corinth had to face was the culture, which was at the time mostly a Greek culture or a Greek background. Now, to understand the Greeks is to really understand their infatuation, if you will, for myths and things that really wasn't true. And if you'll ever study anything that deals with Greek and so forth, then it's always going to lead you back to some false idol or some false god, some great invented imagination of man. Listen to me carefully, that never existed, yet folk put all of their trust or their faith into this deity or this thing. Come on, somebody. That's a good word right there. Even until our day and time, if you will truly study, have an open mind, one that is ready to receive, it is so even when we look in today's times, whenever we look at the different Greek fraternities and sororities, all of them will eventually lead you back to some myth or some idol or some deity who is not even real. And so often within the Corinthian church, these things, once folk had gotten in Christ, these things would have a way of working themselves back into the church in order that people might change their mind on things that their mind was once made up. Come on, I wonder, have you ever dealt with anybody like that? There was a time in which their mind was made up. They were sure about the things of Christ. They were sure about being in Christ. They were sure about being in the church. But then something happened. Something happened, and they were no longer as sure. They were no longer as certain as they used to be. Come on, we can get a big amen. We know some folk like that. Many of us have gone through some battles where we wasn't as certain as we once was. And so Paul has to bring correction before he could even bring this great revelation to the church at Corinth. And ultimately, listen to me, and ultimately bring it to all saints. You say, Pastor, why you say it like that? Because what Paul spoke was bigger than just the Corinthian church. Because here we are today going back over what Paul said so many years ago. Why? Because it is the word of God. And how many recognize God's word is always relevant? How many have found that out? God's word is all. I don't care what's happening in the world. God's word is always relevant. Amen. And so notice the correction that he brings, because when you deal with it, we don't often look at this as being correction, yet it is. Yet it is. Notice, staying within that same chapter, notice correction that Paul brought when we look back simply at the seventh verse of Scripture. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Notice the correction that he brings. And before I read it, it's a familiar scripture, but we haven't always seen it as correction. And so let me bring it out. Amen. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For Paul tells the church, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul tells the church, for we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by
sight.
Let's read that together on one. Y'all ready? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 on one. One. For we
walk by faith, not by sight.
Let's read again. Ready? One. Pastor, where's the correction that many who only got saved by walking by faith or believing are now going back to walking by sight or senses? This is the correction that Paul brings, because Paul knows if he doesn't correct how they're living or what they're walking by, they can't receive who they are. You cannot be what God ordained without faith. Come on, Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? And so if I am to be this new creation, if I am to focus on the newness, it requires that I live by faith. You can't be who God ordained without living by faith. And that's when some of you are struggling to be who he has ordained. You're not living by faith. Sight is not limited to a person's natural eyesight. You need to understand that. The word Paul is using and what Paul is saying is that we are not ordained in this newness of life, in this new walk, come on somebody, to be governed by our senses. Let me ask you something. Who gave us our senses? So are they bad? No. They can't be bad because they come from him. He gave them to us. But he never gave them to us for them to rule over faith. See, I want us to see it as this. There is a superior way of walking. Come on, somebody. There is a superior way of walking. In time past, we walk according to our senses. Why did we do that? That was all we knew. That was all when we weren't connected in Christ, we could walk by was our senses. Come on. Faith was not available because we were not in Christ. No way to live by faith without a connection to the true God. So it wasn't even available for us. We were doing what we were born to do, or what we were born into doing. Walking, living, because that word walk means lifestyle. Has to do with how a person is living. For we walk by what? Faith. Remember, I'm going to talk to us today. For we walk by what? Faith. First thing we have to understand, this is a walk of faith. This is a lifestyle of faith. Those of you, again, who struggle receiving and applying the word, you struggle living by faith. You struggle making faith a lifestyle or way of living. Can I say it like this? You don't just live by faith in times of trouble. Do we live by faith in times of trouble? Yes. But if it is lifestyle, I live by faith when all is well. Come on. I live by faith with a pocket full of money, yet not trusting, teach pastor, what's in my pocket, but trusting in the God to whom I serve. That is so important. He's bringing correction. For we walk by faith, not by sight, not by senses. Before I move on again, we don't undermine senses. Man, our senses are a blessing. It's good to see. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, don't take away their sight. They didn't mean that. It's good to see. When somebody says to you, it's good to see, and you can see, you may want to say thank you or amen. That ain't the time to really be looking like, well, whatever. It's good. But sight is what? Limited. You don't want your life to be based on your sight. Right? It's good to hear. It's good to hear. But I don't want to base my life on what I hear, because some things we hear, by faith we ignore. Heard it, but I didn't hear it. What you mean you heard it, but you didn't hear? I heard what they said, but I heard even more what the word said. Are y'all receiving? And so notice again what he says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 before we move forward. For we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. You know what he also wants the Corinthians to recognize? That you are different. You are not like so many others. Come on. For we walk by faith. For we walk by faith. When you walk by faith, you have to interact, deal with those who walk by sight, who want you to think their sight is superior to your faith. This one, you got to be careful. A doctor will try to make you think what he sees is more powerful than what you believe. But you have to know how to stand still and say, I appreciate you, doc, but we different. We move different. We talk different. We think different. We feel differently about things. I feel like God gonna work it out. I know God gonna make a way. What are you talking? Faith. Woo! Come on, somebody. We are not just those who speak English, who speak Spanish. We're bilingual in that we speak faith. What is this he talking? This is a new language. I don't understand him. He should be down. Why he smiling? She should be sad. Why is she laughing? She speaks a different language. Why they not complaining? They talk a different language. Come on, somebody. Do you talk a different language? Do you speak a different language? Speaking faith will cause some people to think you crazy. Some folks will hear things you say and they'll step back and say, I told you that girl ain't got him right. You know how folks do that behind your back when you say stuff. That's good. Amen. But again, notice, for we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Part of maturing is learning to allow faith to govern you rather than being governed ruled or controlled by your senses. I'm moving on after this. This is our lifestyle. This is our way of living. Amen? Notice when we get to verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Y'all hold on. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember, being in Christ is being in faith. Amen? Or is living or walking by faith. That's what being in Christ is. Now, notice what he said. He is a new creation. A new what? Creation. But, Pastor, I thought in the book of Genesis that God stopped creating. You thought wrong. You were taught wrong. Because here we have in the New Testament something that God created that was new. When a man receives Christ, he is a new creation. And what we want to do being in Christ, whether you just got in him or you've been in him for a long time, is make or place our focus on our newness. Come on. You got to make your newness your focus. You have to become single-minded in reference to your newness. I'm finna teach it right. This is the path. This is the road to maturity. It's focusing on the newness. But that requires something. It requires us allowing the past. Notice what he says. Good word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed what? All things have what? Can I teach it right? All things have what? But in reference to some of us, we must say all things are passing away. Because in our walk, in our stage of maturity, there are still things that are old that we are learning to let pass. That we are learning to let go. And some of my old saints should have amen me, because you know that all of it in its totality is a process. We don't ever want to be folk who make people think that where we are today in being sons of God, mature saints, that we got there in 48 hours. You don't want to do that. Come on, somebody. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. That is, in my humble opinion, is to be a person who's misleading. You want to make me think you arrived there overnight. But no, there had to be a process in you becoming the mature man that I see today. There had to be a process in you becoming the virtuous woman that my eyes behold now. How many women in here who are mature, and I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, and who are virtuous, you will admit to there being a process. Come on. Come on. And not all things are deep. For many of you, it's a process of just learning how to sit right. Just learn how to sit down and close your legs. Just don't gap your legs while I'm just, a woman needs to just keep her legs closed. Skirt too short and so forth. You learned eventually how to place something over your knees. Come on, you ain't always been that ladylike. I mean, no, I'm right about that. Know when to bend over, you know when not to bend over. You know the time to bend over, you know the time when you shouldn't bend. Was that a process? How did that look? Amen? Same could be said for men. Never want to give folk the indication that, well, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you've been saved for 2 weeks now. I don't know why you can't get it all together. Come on now, did you get it all together in 2 weeks? And in one sense, we still don't have it all together. Amen. Come on, somebody. Some of you who don't live alone, you should be clapping because you're living with somebody that you witnessed to them not having it all together. Not as people perceive. I need to go on. But notice what he said, because this is important. This is important, especially with folk who are just now getting saved. This what I call this new culture they want to bring in church, which is not a new culture. It is the wrong culture. Where people want to be in Christ, but nothing is passing away. Nothing is being laid aside. There is no old man, no new man. God loves my old man the way he loves my new man. Come on now, thinking like that will mess you up. Will have you professing something that you are not. You are not in Christ if you are not being made new. Because the whole thing about being in Christ is embracing this newness. Come on, embracing it without shame. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be Holy Ghost filled. Striving to live right. Come on. I'm embracing newness. So let's deal with this a little bit. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to deal with some of it? Are we being helped this morning? Focusing on the what? The newness. You really have to learn to focus on the newness. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Even in that, even in just focusing on the newness and doing so, you're going to begin to see the old passing away. There's going to start being a letting go of the old. Why? Because of where your focus is at. I'm focusing on the newness. Now, if you start focusing on the newness, at some point you're going to demand those, especially to whom you're close to respect that newness. Come on. Because nobody's going to respect who you are if you don't. Come on. Nobody's going to respect who you are if you don't. You got to have enough bone to say, hey, I don't talk like that no more. Oh, there she go with what that she don't do no more. You right. You got a problem with it? Step off or step on. Come on. You have to do that. That's your responsibility. Amen. And it seemed like I got a little serious then, because I did. I respect the newness. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Listen carefully what he said. Old things have passed what? Away. Old things have passed what? Away. Let me deal with the old. Number one, the old represents, if you're taking notes, the past. The past. The past. One good definition of the past, in my opinion, is simply what was. What was. You have to identify with what was. I notice you don't curse anymore. I just want to ask you. I'm not trying to be funny or pry into your business. I just notice you don't cuss no more. Well, I'm glad you noticed, because when it comes to me, that's part of what was. Be careful when you talk like this, because if you're really not where you need to be, it could turn around and be what is. So you really want to, you really want to know. Because you mess around and cuss in front of that person that you said that was past, that was what was, they just going to walk up to you real polite and say, well, I guess it is what is today. It ain't like they going to pretend they didn't hear you. Right. You can't just cuss your spouse out and then the next week, we need to see pastor. We're going to tell them about you cussing. Know what was. This is so good because you got Christians, they're struggling. Is that old? Is that what was? Because there are many people, including demons, who would love for you to be confused as to what is and what was. Are you new? Are you old? Are you saved? Are you lost? Woo! Wait. Are you holy? Are you unholy? See, you got to know. So the old, number one, deals with the past. Number two, the old deals with, and this is very important, the old deals with life before accepting Christ. Life before we accepted Christ is the old. No way to accept Christ and not come into the newness that he brought. Because he brought newness. Come on, somebody. I said he brought newness. And if you're taking notes, new represents better. What Christ brought was better. In that a man could be unrighteous, accept him, and be declared righteous because of accepting him. Tell me that ain't better. Don't have to go see the priest. Don't have to bow down to a man. Don't have to ask somebody to pray for you. You can go to Christ. You can accept Christ. Come on, somebody. For yourself. Pastor, I cried out to God. Oh, let me teach it right. Don't even have to be in a church. You can cry out at your house. Come on, somebody. All of us didn't get saved in the church. God dealt with you outside of a church. Woo! And ain't you glad about it? I said, ain't you glad about it? You might have didn't get saved that night, but he dealt with you that Friday night at the club. That's the reason you brought your end to church that Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. And they got the shooting up in that club that night and you thought you would be dead. Or he dealt with you through an accident or something. I know God got a number of ways of just dealing with us. And people around you not even recognizing that right in that moment, God is, he's dealing with you. Some of you, he dealt with you when that jail cell shut. He dealt with you when you turned and looked at where you landed. But yet God is still dealing with me. And see, when we accept Christ, when we get in Christ, the old is behavior, conduct, thinking, talking, and choices that point to the evidence of us not knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what we was. That's the old. The old also represents a life of practicing sin. Notice what Paul said. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Pass away. That life of practicing sin, I've got to let it go. I've got to let it pass. Come on. That's work. So you know when folk get quiet? Because a lot of us, when it comes to this type of teaching, we really, truly expect God to do everything. Scriptures will be right there, right in our eyes. Can even be broke down to it. Let us lay aside every way. Let us lay aside every way. Let us lay aside every way. God, take this weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And you running and not looking to Jesus? You running but not enduring. Come on, somebody. It takes God. It takes God. Now listen to me. Many people, if you're taking note, many people struggle letting the past be the past. Many people struggle letting the past be just that, the past. When you are in Christ, especially young in Christ, there will always be somebody trying to remind you of who you was. Old folk used to call it trying to pull the old man out of you. That's what the old saint used to say. Be careful when you get around people because they'll pull the old man out of you. That's how the old folk used to talk to us. They'll stir up that old man. Y'all remember old folks saying they're warning us. In other words, what they were trying to teach us was that we had to guard our hearts. We had to guard our minds. That we are not caught allowing what was to be what is. Amen? And so a lot of us, if you will listen to me today, you can actually learn how to focus on the newness. On the newness. Now listen, why is this important? Because our past has the capacity to ruin our present, listen to me, and derail our future. The past, if you allow the past to rule, if you allow the past to control, it can ruin your present. It can ruin your newness. And it's not that God didn't ordain for you to be that. You're not embracing what he ordained. You're not focusing on the newness. You are allowing the old, listen to me, to disrupt the new. Come on. That goes back to what I talked about earlier. You must remember who have been saved a long time. If you'll think back to when you was immature. A lot of time we step in and out the old versus the new, sometimes just simply based upon feelings. I remember being immature in Christ, and all it took for you to allow the old to rule was just giving way to your emotions. Man, you know how powerful the human emotions are? I ain't got time to go into it in depth, but even the senses, the emotions, the thinking, and such, these things are powerful. They're not just powerful, but they're very complex. You ever notice how you cry sometimes when you're hurting? When you're sad and really get into those feelings, into those emotions? You may not slobber and change gears, but you that tear will start, and you have to take your finger, your hand, or something. Just, it's not. It's coming while you're crying, sad. Emotions are taking over. You're trying to hold them back. That's the emotions at work. If you're not careful, those emotions will take you right out the will of God. Start crying, got all in your emotions, picked up your phone, called somebody you never should have called. Why you make that call? You was in your emotions. You say you weren't going to hang with them no more, but you got in your emotions. Felt left behind, felt alone. But now watch this. Then you can have joy. And now watch those same tears which are normally associated with crying and sadness. Have you ever laughed so hard that you cried? You just cried. You cried, you laughed so hard. Just tell the person, just stop. Stop. Pause it. And you're just crying. Sides cramping and going on. Some of y'all like, you never laugh. I'm like, I ain't even going to look at you. I ain't go over here. Have y'all ever just laughed? These folks over here. Woo, if some folks look at me like, I will not laugh. That's the power of emotions. I'm just getting us to see that we are yet human. If you don't know how to control or allow your faith to govern your emotions. That means I can be sad, but I can get in prayer and get comfort. I can get in prayer and prayer bring about peace. Prayer will bring about answers that'll help me get up from prayer and deal with situations that may not change, but I have took control of my emotion and I will not make a bad choice because of how I feel. Whoa, I would not walk out based on how I feel. I would not give up based on how I feel. Then when you get good and old, you learn not to even talk all in your emotions. God, I'm teaching right. God is helping me. He's helping me. Some of you ain't saying a word because, boy, you get in them emotions. You ever got in your emotions and told somebody what you really thought you felt? Because they asked for it. Tell me. And your emotions, come on. Man, I had to learn that I can deal with the emotions, but yet focus on the newness. Deal with the emotions of being a man, having pressure that comes upon a man, but make choices like a new man. Come on. I just dropped one there. Make choices like the new man. Focus on the new. Don't let that old man choose. Because you know he's rooted in selfishness. Is that right? Let's speed up. In our past, many of us failed to take responsibility for our actions. In our past, many of us fail to take responsibility for our actions or our lack thereof. That has to be what was. Focusing on the newness, I have to take responsibility for my actions. When you're focusing on that newness, you have to learn to say things that are simple but profound. That was my fault. I've got to do better. I've got to be more patient. I've got to pray longer. I prayed, but it wasn't effective. Because I prayed and then got up and did what I shouldn't have did. It shouldn't be that way. Woo! In our past, many of us pattern our lives after the wrong people. Focusing on the newness demands that I pattern myself after the right people. Come on. All comparisons are not unwise. You just got to know who God would have you to look at in order to determine how you need to be or how you need to change. Come on. Come on. Everybody's going to pattern themselves after somebody. You sit there if you want that. I don't pattern myself. I'm just whoever I am. I do this. No, you don't. That's how deceived you are. You are patterning yourself after someone. But focusing on the newness, it demands even that we allow God to give us our patterns. Do some of you young Christians in here realize that if you're in Christ, right, Christ knows your purpose. He knows what you were created to do. He knows who you need to pattern yourself after. And that's the wonderful thing about being a part of a local church or local congregation is that you know those who labor among you. And in your local church, we should be able to find patterns. Come on. That's a good thing. You got a young person coming in, a young adult wanting to live right, a young man. He's going to need, whether he know it or not, he's going to need a godly pattern. He's going to need that. Now, he may come in thinking he got it all together and he don't need that. But I assure you, because I needed it. You need it. You need it to ever reach this point of being just simply mature. Did it take patterns from some of you that are mature? Did it take having godly or good patterns? Think about the old man. We in sinful days, our focus, we pattern our lives after the wrong people. Finally, in our past, many of us refuse to change. We refuse to change. See, but now we need to focus on the what? The newness. We refuse to change. Change, if you're taking notes, equates to mature or to simply grow up. When you're in Christ and you're focusing on the newness, you're going to grow. Oh, Lord, it was silent then. You're going to grow in God. You're going to grow into things of God. Because your focus is right. But you can set up in church until Jesus comes with the wrong focus, die, and go to hell. Because, yes, you came to church, but your major problem was your resistance to change. This is, in my humble opinion, what makes teaching so necessary? We all have to understand when change is not only good, but when it is necessary. Come on, somebody. I got to change. I got to improve. Do you think being in Christ, you can improve, change for the better, focusing on the past? Is that your recipe? It's a failed one. Focusing on the newness brings change. I love it. When I learned to focus on the newness, I could look at my own life, and it's a good thing when you can look and do a self-examination and know about you. Again, I'm not perfect, but I see the change. I see it. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on. We need to clap right there. Because somebody need to clap, but you're clapping for yourself. You clapping for the change that's been taking place. Give yourself a hand. You have been changing for the better. Don't look down on that. Don't see that as insignificant, because enemies will play on you not being able to recognize that you have changed. Isn't that a good thing? Let's deal with some scripture before I bring it to a close. Notice again that Paul says 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, again, notice. There are things you have to notice. There's things you have to understand. There are things you have to take a look at. Therefore, notice this. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? All things have become what? All things. Spiritual and natural things. Things in and outside of the church. See, all things. God wants all things to become new, better. Better. Let's look at some scripture real quick. Ephesians 4. This is a good message to promote maturity. Amen. Ephesians 4. This is a good message to promote, to help build maturity. Because some of us, we got to mature. God wants you to mature. Ephesians 4:22. And he don't want you to think you can't. Ephesians 4 and 22. I'm teaching to a few folks out there right now. You come to church, you scribing. I think you love God, but I don't think you really bought into that you can change. You can be new. You are fought by things that have been said to you in the past. Woo! How many know sometimes in life we can allow things that were said to us in our past that was wrong, but it stuck? I'm trying to move on. And some of y'all, that's just too good right there. Do you realize, you and some of us sitting there like, ain't nothing wrong been said to me that stuff. You only recognize parts of the way you behave, because somebody spoke that on you that you wasn't nothing but a fool. And you don't realize you still do foolish things. You won't admit it, but you still think sometimes you're a fool. You so dumb, you can't do nothing right. See, if you ain't careful, that thing or that what was said years ago, or try to stick. And then you do something that's unwise, instead of you just saying, Lord, I repent, forgive me for doing that. What stuck to you? I'm just dumb. I just can't never get it right. I'm just always messing up. I know I'm right. I know I pastor some people that are like that. God don't want you to be like that, because you will forever hinder your own maturity. And you'll sit back in the church wondering why so-and-so could go from step one to step two, from step two to step three. It's a process. Where you limit yourself because of you believe in certain things. And some can come from your raising. We never really, in a lot of time, I know a lot of folks want to come to church, they want the message to be 20, 25 minutes. Of course, you know this is not that church. But sometimes a pastor is having to, y'all don't understand my job, you never will. But sometimes I'm having to grind through, not just the world. And every week I preach to y'all got to go back out here into the world. But then sometimes I got to grind through, not just the worldly system, but the way people were raised. It is a big deal for some people when you start teaching certain things that they've never seen. You can just start telling them you can have, but they growed up where nobody had. And what they did had, they went about wrong means and ways to get. Now you talking tithe, offering, prayer, faithfulness, ask, it'll be given, seek, you'll find, knock, it'll be, oh, I resist that. I resist that. And sometimes as a pastor, God won't allow me to just overlook people. No, you're going to stand there and teach. You're going to stand there and talk to people that you don't even know you're talking to, but they know you're talking to them. Come on. Ephesians 4. And then sometimes I'm teaching it, and people know things that are going on in their homes that I don't. Ephesians 4. We have four in Christ, but they're not acting like they in Christ at home. Ephesians 4 and 22. Because how many know at any moment life can present something to you? I said, how many know at any moment life can present something to you? Life was this way yesterday. Today, life has brought something. You ever had Amazon, UPS, or somebody like that drop off the wrong package? You ever had the mail person put the wrong mail? It was your neighbor's mail, you know, the wrong package. But see, life won't do that. You're going to think it's the wrong package. Ephesians 4. Some of you, I don't know why pastor teaching like that. Because I also have members, you just as immature right now as the day you got saved. Pastor, I think that's an insult. You think what you want to. You just as immature today as you was when you first got saved. Ephesians 4. But you are one of the main ones harping on other people to be strong in the Lord. To be this, that, and the other in God. But you're just as immature today as you was when you first got saved. Ephesians 4. Woo! See how quiet it got? See, ministers who you see yourself preaching before people, you see how it can get? They're not going to always be with you. Ephesians 4 and 22. That you put off. That you put what?
Off.
concerning your former conduct, the old conduct, the old man, watch what Paul reveals about him, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful what? See, there's no way of hanging on to the old man with the mindset that he'll become the new man. Paul is destroying that myth. The old man must be done away with. You don't just sit in church and say, well, one day I'll get it. One day I'll change. Come on, Pastor. Pastor, I'm just 35. I got all this time. Basically what I'm doing, Pastor, I ain't just saying it out loud, but I'm going to get saved when I get 60. I'm 35 right now, and I play around with this old man, this old woman, you know, catering to her about certain things. I know better, Pastor, but I'm telling you, when I get 60, this stuff, I'm done with all of it. But see, there's a problem with that. You ain't guaranteed 60. You're not even guaranteed to see 60, listen, with your mind on God. Ephesians 4:22. So I'm talking to some of my young adults who you think, you know, you just got time. You know, Pastor, I don't want to spend my young days in no church. No, that's exactly where you want to spend those young days. Amen. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt, according to deceitful what? Lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? Be renewed in the spirit of your what? That you put on the new man, which was created according to who? In true righteousness and what? That you be renewed in the spirit of your what? That you be renewed in the spirit of your what? That you may put on the new. I can't put on the new man without being renewed in the spirit of my mind. So to focus on the newness requires me taking out things that are not right, replacing them with what is right. This thought is not right. This thought is right. I replace that bad thought with this right thought. Talking like that is not right. I replace that wrong talk with this right talk. I should talk Bible. Choosing like that is not right. Let me not choose like that. Let me choose like this. Come on, I'm closing. Well, I mean, no, sometimes that's a daily fight. Be renewed in the spirit of your what? Of your mind. Your mind, your mindset, your choices. But listen to me. Also, your behavior, your attitude. I'm not walking in the right attitude. You cannot do somebody wrong, be in Christ, focusing on the newness, and you're not going to get that thing right. You're not going to be able to sleep until you get it right. You're not going to get rest until you get it right. Woo! Some of you like, I sleep good. Something is wrong with you. You ain't going to go get that thing, right? You just going to act like it didn't happen. Colossians. Oh, I'm dealing with folk. I'm dealing with myself. No, I got to get that right. One scripture talks about don't let the sun go down. Don't let the sun. Somebody let the sun go down, come up, go down again. We let a storm come. We let a storm pass. We come out of summer in the fall. Come on. Here we are, winter, and that thing happened in the spring, and it getting cold now. You still ain't got that thing right. Come on. Why are you teaching like that? Because the more you get into the church, eventually something going to happen even within church. And if you ain't focusing on the newness, all you got to do is have a disagreement, a fallout with a brother or sister or some type problem. And then there you go running like the old man, getting mad and just taking off. And he's saying so and so in a couple weeks. Well, you know, Pastor, she mad at so and so. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I don't need no more. Then I have to get them all in here. And my thing be a lot of times, like, I hope they get that right. They need to get that right. Colossians 3. This ain't just a home thing, but it's definitely a home thing, but it's a church thing too, right? How many know living with people, you have to get stuff right? Oh, how many know living with people, you have to get stuff right? That's focusing on the what? The newness. Colossians 3. Yeah, wives, y'all got to get up and learn, get in there and go in there. Apologize to your husband. Colossians. And all the husbands said. Amen. And all the husbands said. Amen. Colossians 3. Well, Pastor, you could flip that. I ain't flipping that. Y'all women, learn to get up and go in there and get that thing right with your husband. That man love you. You know when I did that? Just to show some of these deep folks over here that they'll be with you the whole time till you say something they just said. Some of y'all didn't miss the whole service. Amen in me when I said that you were. Pastor, can I just ask something? Pastor, what if he ain't never right? Can I ask something? Why you marry him? Colossians 3. No, you have to learn. You have to learn. I'm focusing on this newness. We know that thing could be flipped. Colossians 3. Let's look at verse 8. We coming in. Oh, Lord have mercy. I ain't tell. I ain't got toes and fingers to count how many times I had to go to Don. And sometimes your hall don't be but, I'm trying to close. You know, your hall don't be but 5 feet. You know, most of us ain't got no 25 feet, 30 feet hallways from one room to the next. But I'll be honest, sometimes I've had to go in there, man, and what was a two feet little walk just seemed like 20 feet. Just get up and go on in there. Especially when your spouse good and say, because they know you got to go. You know, I'm trying to close, Sister Aisha. You know, you go in there like, you know, like, so what you doing? I'm just getting stuff together for tomorrow. Well, we both know I was wrong. We both know I missed it. I want to apologize. I need to get that right. I love you and forgive me. That was me. That was on me. I forgive you. All right. Now that little hallway seems so short. You've been in that room for all day. You don't even want to go back in there. Now you're like, well, I can come on back in there now. We can go back talking and fellowship. I didn't get that thing right. But sometimes it's the same way with your brother or sister walking out the church. This ain't no Coliseum. See, one thing we got working for us as a small church, you ain't got to have an alt with a brother or sister. One, I wonder, did they exit through the C gate or through the B gate or the E gate? We got two double doors heading out here. If they came in here, they going to leave out one, them two right there. And it ain't hard for somebody to be sitting on that side and you know I got to get with them. I got to get this right. There ain't no big, large church like that. Colossians 3. Well, Pastor, I just ain't seen her. You ain't want to see her. Colossians 3 and 8. We closing right here. I ain't going to finish this today. Colossians 3 and 8. Yeah, because sometimes when you slow down and stuff, it'll make it longer. Colossians 3 and 8. But now, are y'all with me? Colossians 3 and 8. But now ye yourselves are to put off all these. Now ye yourselves are to put off all these. Now, I thought I was going to get to go to some more scripture, but Lord, I'm finna end it here because Holy Ghost really dealing with me. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Whew. Good gracious Allah. Pastor, why are they in the church and get filthy language? Do you see why we need to focus on the newness? He ain't right to no unsaved folk. But now you yourself ought to put off all anger. Y'all have seen folks saved in Christ, but mad all the time. Mad all, frowning all. Why you stay so mad? Why you got so much anger in you? Put that away. Put that away. Amen. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filter the language out of your mouth. Now, notice verse 9. It don't even look like he's talking to saved folk. You see what can happen when you stop focusing on the newness? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, I'm just ready for you to get done. Well, I ain't focusing on you. I'm not, I can't. Because I know something's going on this morning. I know that I preached long enough to know that. Something going on. And what always looks clean is not clean. You can look over a whole congregation, and the congregation just looks so holy. So innocent. Because then he drops this on them. Do not lie to one another. They in Christ lying to each other, not being truthful. Not in church, Paul. Stop focusing on the newness, you'll start back lying. He warning, do not lie to one another. Some of y'all look at me like this stuff ain't Bible. I'm close. Since you put off the old man with his what? With his what? Tell your neighbor, the old man comes with deeds. Long as the old man is ruling, there are deeds. There are actions. There are attitudes. Amen. And have put on the new man. Here this word again is. Who is renewed in knowledge. Listen to me. See, to focus on the newness means we're also renewed in knowledge. Notice, according to the image, image deal with likeness, or the likeness of him capitalized, Jesus, who, notice this, created him. See, I'm focusing on the newness because in focusing on the newness, I'm coming to church being renewed in knowledge according to the image or the likeness of Jesus who created me, this new man or this new woman. Do you see that? Make it your responsibility when you leave today to say, hey, you know what? I'm focusing on the newness. Because as I said earlier, life going to bring things. But when you think about the likeness of him who created us, that being Jesus, there was a day in which he, through the Holy Spirit, was led to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, to deal with temptation. We may not be led to the wilderness dealing with temptation. Life may not bring temptation in the wilderness. It may bring temptation at the bank. It may bring temptation at the job. But deal with whatever life brings, focusing on what? The newness. Do y'all receive this morning? All right, I'm going to let it go right there. Let's give God a praise this morning. For